Thank you that you keep us. Thank you that we can run to you in times of struggle, Lord, and that you are with us in all ways and all things every day, Father. Now, Lord, as we come to your word, Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. May it come fresh to us, to all of us this morning, Lord. May you speak through your word. May my words, Lord, may they be only your words this morning. So thank you, Father, for this time, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. I just want to extend my welcome as well. If you're not sure who I am, my name is Andrew, and I have the true joy and privilege of being the associate pastor here, and I am excited. Who's excited to hear from the word of the Lord this morning? We're excited. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the word. But before we begin into our passage today, I just want to ask you a question to begin. When's the last time that you remember feeling extremely hungry? Like food-wise, I'm talking, or thirsty. Once, think back to the last time where you felt so hungry. I mean like famished, like crazy hungry, like I could eat a horse type hungry. When's the last time that you remember feeling that? I was thinking about that question myself, and the last time I can really think, and there's many times I'm sure, but last time I remember feeling that hungry was at a summer camp. And I love how many of us have been to camp before, speaking at camp or working at camp, whatever it may be. Camps are wonderful. I absolutely love camp ministry. And I've had the joy of being able to be a camp speaker the past few years in different places, one place called Ranger Lake in Saskatchewan. And I was there. It was just me and our oldest son, Elias. And camp gets crazy. Camp gets busy. Like, it's a day you just go, go, go all day. And it was one of these days where from the time I woke up and went to the prayer meeting they have and a little devotional, and then you're supposed to have breakfast. I was just going. And after prayer meeting, I got in a conversation with someone and then was running into breakfast. And then before I know it, breakfast was kind of already put away and I didn't even think about it. I was just kind of just going. You know, we've had days like that before, right? And it wasn't until later in the afternoon where lunch I kind of missed as well. And later in the afternoon, I was at a climbing wall skill, just sitting there watching kids climb, talking to kids, and I started to not feel good at all. I started to feel faint, and you know, when you're hungry, you shake and all sorts of things. Your body needs food, and so the person beside me was like, "Man, you're not looking too good." I'm like, "I'm not feeling too good," and they asked me, "When's the last time you ate?" And I was like, "I haven't really ate that much at all." And then let me tell you, that night at supper, camp has amazing food. I just devoured supper. Absolutely filled me up. And it reminds me of this idea of that's physical hunger. Today we're going to talk about a different hunger. A hunger, a spiritual hunger, a hunger for the Word of God. And so we've been in our vision series here for the last week. We were focusing on looking up and our making Jesus famous, looking up and looking in and looking out. Last week, Pastor Brent was, if you remember, was talking about prayer. And looking up and reminding us that prayer is an amazing gift we have that we can take for granted sometimes, right? We can talk to God any place, any time. We don't need to go through all the rituals the Old Testament did, right, in the temple. And so we were focusing on prayer last week. And today we're with a focused word is what we're talking about. And next week, Pastor Josh is going to talk about a focused serve. All these things that may seem like kind of the basics, but we need to remember the basics are very important to go back to not forget, to not take for granted. So a key verse here I just want to bring up is Hebrews 12:2 is our key focus scripture for the series. And I just want to read that as we begin. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This whole series is about in focus, is about fixing our eyes on the things that deserve our focus and the prayer and the word and service, these pillars, these important things. That's what we are while we're doing this series. But as Pastor Brent mentioned last week as well, we're pausing our Revelation series. You know, if you've been with us for that, we're pausing that, but we're kind of not pausing it. We're still going to be looking at Revelation as we're going through these few weeks in the Vision series too. So we're going to see some connections today in the passage to Revelation because the Word of God is, it's all connected. It's all intertwined, which is amazing. So today, our passage comes from the book of Psalms, and we're going to be in Psalm 119. Psalms is one of my favorite books, you know, being a songwriter and poet as well with rap and stuff. I absolutely love the book of Psalms. I'm sure for many of you, it's your favorite book, I'm guessing, as well, for many of us. So that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in Psalm 119, 25 to 40. Now, I mean, Psalm 119 is, in fact, the longest psalm, and not only that, it's also the longest chapter in the Bible. So, you know, I thought about maybe we'll just go through the whole thing. I don't know if you saw the post on Facebook. Maybe we'll just go through the 176 verses and just dig in. You guys didn't bring your lunch? We might get hungry. No, we're just going to do, let's just do two stanzas today, 25 to 40. So on your blue Bibles, it's 527, 528, right in front of you there. So, but before we dive into it and actually read it, it's important to look at the background of this psalm. As I approach the scriptures and look at things, it's amazing. I love the privilege of being able to learn from the Word of God, to learn things that I don't know. We're always constantly learning about. And I learned quite a bit this week, and I'm excited because I want to share it with all of us this morning. So Psalm 119 is it's an unknown author. A lot of commentators believe that David probably wrote it, but there's also some people believe Ezra might have wrote in it or a Levitical priest. So we're not sure. It is an unknown author for the passage, for the whole book, so the whole chapter. And because, like I said, it's so long, it was likely written over a long period of time. So it wouldn't have just been thrown together one time. It would have been over a long period, years probably, where all these chapters, these verses were put together in this chapter. Now, here's some things that I learned about Psalm 119. You may see in your Bible, you may have it, you may not, but you see different words above each section, and it has a little symbol. Does anybody have the symbols beside there, right? And I've seen those before, and I didn't really know what it meant until I really got to dig into it this week, and it's pretty amazing. Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem. So what that means is this. We'll try to break this down. It's kind of like Revelation, some like symbols and letters and stuff like that in some ways. So sorry, it's a little small here, but this is the biblical Hebrew alphabet, okay? This is like their A to Z. So there's the name, and that's the names that you have right above each section, okay? So there's the name, and then there's the letter, the actual letter of the alphabet there in Hebrew, and then the pronunciation of it. And so Psalm 119 is divided into 22 sections. And if you look, there's 8 verses in each stanza. So each one of those Hebrew letters has 8 verses underneath it. And it's called an acrostic poem. So another cool thing I learned, not only that, is that each character, each Hebrew letter, has an image, a picture, a symbol that represents that. Okay, are you following me? It's kind of like this. I brought this kind of as an illustration. We have this in our house. It's not my book, obviously, but right? So I'm not going to turn it on because it sings to you, and we've already had a singing fish recently, and this will annoy us greatly. Trust me. I know. I wish I could take the batteries out of it some days, and I should. But this is, you know, one of these kids' books where it says A's for apple, B's for ball, C's for cat. And the reason is because for kids to learn the alphabet, then they will associate apple with A, right? And that's the whole idea behind it. Well, that's the same idea here, is that each letter has a picture tied to it as well as a symbol here. And that was for the purpose of memorization, so that you could learn it easier because you had this picture and you had the symbol and you had the Hebrew alphabet. So that was the whole idea behind that. Now it goes even deeper. Each section represents a Hebrew letter. Each line of each section begins with that letter. Okay, so like I said, I love, before I was a rapper, I was a poet, because rap is poetry, and I wrote my share of love poetry in the past and regular poetry. And so as I was reading this and learning all this week, I said, hey, I want to try this. I want to try writing an acrostic poem to my wonderful wife, Sue, here, and just try, okay? So this is just an example. Some of it got cut off. But you see here, we have the picture is the apple, and then the letter's A, so put it in an R language, obviously. And it says, always will I love you, Sue, after all the storms God has brought us through. Alone we will never be as he walks with us. Arriving at each moment of this journey is a joy. All knowing is the God who we serve and who carries us. Accident is not a word in his vocabulary. Asking him for his strength is vital daily. Aspirations and dreams all pair in comparison to his perfect plans, is what it said. So I wrote this down, and like I said, I love working with words. It's what I do with rap and writing sermons. This actually was a challenge to do, to actually think of each line beginning with A and try to tie it all together. So Psalm 119 does this all through the Hebrew alphabet. So I wrote this with just A. It would be as if I wrote all the way, our entire alphabet. That's what Psalm 119 is. It's amazing, right? And so what that shows us is a few things. It shows us the time and the complete crafting that God has put through the Word of God. They exhausted the entire Hebrew alphabet, the language, the entire language, to have this love letter pretty much to the Lord and to His Word. That's what Psalm 119 is, and that's what it means for it to be an acrostic poem. So the two sections we're in is called Daleth and Hey. Can you guys say that with me? Hey. You got to say it like that. That's what I'm learning, right? The Hebrew. There you go. Hey. Yeah, that's like you say it like that. Not he, but hey. And so Daleth, if you see, if you have the symbol beside you, it actually represents a door or a flap of a tent, because then they're tents as well, right? And so it actually looks like that. And hey represents a window, which is really interesting. The two sections I picked here are door and window. And it actually looks like a window as well. So all this, like I said, helps with memorization. There are also 325 personal pronouns in Psalm 119. This is a personal book. If you look at the sections we're in today, I, throughout entire Psalm 119. It is a very personal, almost like a spiritual diary. If you've written a diary, a journal, it's crying out to God. It's just saying, Lord, I need you, just like we sang this morning. Keep me, give me direction, teach me. That's what this particular part of Psalms is. And a lot of Psalms is like that as well. It's the real, it's the raw. It's the Lord completely just being crying out to the Lord. So this sets the stage for Psalm 119. So after all that background now, let's read it here together. Psalm 119, verse 25 to 40. And I'm reading from NIV. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. So what I want to do is just walk through these verses here in the Daleth and the Hey. We want to keep walking through it and see what the Lord has for us today about being hungry for his word. So verse 25 there, first few words, I am laid low in the dust. That gives us many imagery. You know, it's a poetic imagery that it gives us. And this week I was able to go to this new war movie with the Pastor Josh and some others from our church called 1917. It's this big new war epic that's out. It's amazing and, you know, landmark of filmmaking because most of it's like one shot. So it just follows the story here and story of two young soldiers and they're given a mission to go to a battalion that's about to attack in the morning behind enemy lines. And they need to give the message to them to tell them not to do it because it's a trap. So that's the whole movie and it follows along. I'm not going to give anything away. But a lot of this movie showed the trenches in World War I, which was brutal. Like this is a brutal and a beautiful at the same time movie. It's really interesting that way. But these trenches were brutal. And the things that were taking place there and the disease and the whole atmosphere being fearful and just cold. You know, we're thinking of being cold today. Imagine just being in these trenches in the middle of war. And it reminded me of this passage. I'm laid low in the dust. When's the last time, or maybe it's even currently, that you've been laid low in the dust. You know, in life, that the picture that comes from that is that we are on the ground and we are beaten down and we are defeated and dust chokes you. And when's the last time that you were clinging to the dust of the ground? But in the Christian faith, as we follow Jesus, the amazing thing is that the dust is actually fertile ground. It's where the Lord can restore our brokenness. It's where the Lord can actually work and pick us up. You know, kind of the imagery, like I said, Daleth represents door. And there's meaning to that actually in the psalm, because picture it like this with me, as if there's a tent here. And that represents God's presence and his peace and his rest. And this psalmist is outside in the dust and he's looking at that tent. And he knows that's where I need to be. I know I need to be in there, but I'm here in the dust. You see how the representation of a door actually is coming to life even through these words here. In verse 26, and it goes on to say, I gave an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. This goes back kind of what we talked about last week, Pastor Brent, was in prayer. We need to be honest before the Lord. The Lord calls us to just talk to him. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this is how I'm doing. Like, I'm struggling right now. I'm worried. I'm frustrated. I'm stressed, whatever it is. If there's anything you see in this chapter and throughout the whole book of Psalms and throughout Scripture, is that we need to be real with the Lord and laying everything bare before him. That's what the psalmist is doing here. Everything needs to be laid before. We confess our sins and are in need of him. Listen, if you are holding a secret sin in your life and you're struggling with something that nobody knows about, that will keep you from the rest of God. You can't truly enter the rest of God in its full completeness if you are holding on to secret sins in your life and not confessing them to the Lord or to the others. It's when we confess to the Lord and to others that there's freedom, right? We are set free, and then we can enter that tent, that rest, that peace. So I encourage you, if you are keeping those things secret, there's freedom in Jesus. You could truly enter the rest. And so he is laying everything before God. He says, I've given an account and teach me your decrees. And when we do that, we can truly enter the peace of God. You know, throughout Psalm 119, you're going to see different terms for God's covenant revelation. As I've looked through here, and there's so many places I could have picked for this morning, because the whole passage is about the Word of God, loving the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. So there's law. You're going to see the word law, which means instruction. There's testimonies, what God solemnly testifies to his will. Precepts is a word we see, what God has appointed to be done. Statutes, what the divine lawgiver has laid down. Commandments, what God has commanded. Rules, what the divine judge has ruled to be right. Word, what God has spoken. We sang about that this morning, God's word. And decree is the declaration of the Lord working out his plan. So constantly you see these words, synonyms for the word, and the covenant relation we have with God throughout Psalm 119. And each of them kind of mean different things, which we see there, but they're all about the word and the power of the word. Verse 27, cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. This is a cry for comfort. It's a cry for comfort in times where you're in the dust. And not just wanting the Word of God to be head knowledge. You know, I've been at Briarcrest, and it can be a place as well, in other Bible schools as well, where you get a lot of head knowledge constantly. You're writing papers because you just want to just get it in, you just want to do it. And I was constantly challenged by mentors and friends during my time at Briarcrest to be like, you know what? Like, this is about the heart. Like, what's God want to teach you through that paper? What's God want to teach you through that long textbook you don't want to read anymore? Right? So the psalmist is saying, Lord, I want this to be more than just head knowledge. I want this to be heart knowledge. I want this to sink deep. We need, as people of God, to truly believe the word of God, not just know it with our minds. There's a big difference between knowing and believing, right? Walking it out. In verse 28, then we see the psalms go up and down, right? It's like a roller coaster. And the psalmist is now saying, my soul is weary with sorrow. And maybe you've come this morning to this place weary with sorrow. Whatever may be going on, you know, I don't know, the Lord knows. And maybe you have the weights of the world on you. And so what do we do when our soul is weary with sorrow? The psalmist cries out, strengthen me according to your word. The word strengthens us. In times where we're weak and when we are full of the sorrows of life and heavy, the word gives us that strength. It gives us that light in those times. And so he's saying, Lord, strengthen me according to your word. I am weak and I need you. Like we sang this morning, I love that song, I need you. That's what this is. The promises of God remain firm as the world closes in and crumbles around us. You know, I go on Fearbook, Facebook, obviously. It feels like Fearbook lately. You know, when you look at the things going on in our world and you see the stuff going on with Iran and the States, and you see the planes being shot out of the sky by missiles and even connections to Edmonton right in our area, and you see Australia on fire and earthquakes and all sorts of things are going on in our world that seem to just be chaos, and they are. But God is the one that holds all things. He is the one that is in complete control. And his word is something that will not fade away. You know, we don't know what's going to happen this week in the world. But we know that the word of God can be trusted. We can stand on it as our foundation. That's why it's part of our vision. It is a foundational thing, the word. They remain even when things collapse and crumble. And then 29 to 32, the last part of the Daleth there is saying that, keep me from deceitful ways, be gracious to me, teach me your law. Once again, you see, teach me, keep me. I've chosen the ways of faithfulness. I've set my heart on your laws. I hold fast your statutes, Lord. I run in the path of your commands. This is now he's inside the tent. He's entering the comfort of God. And some translations say, mine says broaden my understanding, but yours might say, enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart. Very poetic language. And what that means is, Lord, like, I want to keep growing in relationship with you. I don't want it just to stay here. You know, in my marriage with Sue, I don't want it just to stay here. We keep growing in deeper love. And that's what the Lord wants as well. And the psalmist is saying, keep me following you, growing in you. Keep me running. I love that. I run in the path of your commands. And back to that movie, 1917, we saw. There's a lot of running because they're trying to get there on a mission to get that word to that battalion, right? And so they're just running through all sorts of chaos, all sorts of things. Nothing's going to stop them. And as I was dwelling on Psalm 119, watching it, reminded me, are we like that with the Word of God? Do we run towards the Word of God? Do we pursue it and not let anything stop us? Do we want the understanding and the commands from the Lord? It's kind of like this, kind of an illustration. You can just picture this, and it came to my mind this week. Pretend there's someone in your house, you know, not your family, not your spouse, but someone in your house who just had a place in your house, say it's a chair, and they have all knowledge, and they have all wisdom. No, it's not Google. And they have comfort for you in the times where there's struggle and pain. And this person just sits on this chair. And as you're going through life and you're struggling with things and you're wrestling and you're going through the sorrow and the dust, you just walk past that chair every day and you don't talk to that person. You need to talk to the person to begin a relationship. They don't talk to you. And you just walk by every day. Every day you keep walking by, even though you know that this person holds wisdom and they hold comfort. That person represents the word of God. Many of us have a Bible or multiple Bibles. I realized that this week in preparations, we have multiple Bibles in our house. And they sit in places sometimes. Not all the times. I'm not saying we all keep our Bibles on our shelves and don't read them. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we do. I know I have. And then we're struggling and we're going through things. And soon I may be thinking about big decisions and trying to think about what to do. And so we try to chat together and those types of things. And then we just leave our Bibles closed. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to open it. We need to read it. We need to meditate on it. We need to come to it and say, Lord, teach me. When's the last time you opened your scriptures? When you opened the Word of God and you said, Lord, teach me. And maybe it has been recently. Praise the Lord. Keep saying that. Because that's how we need to approach the Word of God. Lord, teach me. Show me. We see that's what the psalmist is saying here. So just like that person in our house, the answers, the comfort, the relationship, the power is in this book. Verse 34 says, give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Now, like I said, there's going to be some connections to Revelation here. And he's talking about saying, I don't want to be half-hearted. I want to be all in. I want my whole heart to be for you, Lord. Everything in my life. We think back to Revelation and the seven churches. We saw quite a bit of half-heartedness, didn't we, in those churches, some of them. Like Pastor Josh said, we keep coming back to this illustration, the dirt in the brownies. These churches were mixing in the dirt with the brownies. They were not all in full-hearted for the Lord. They were half-hearted, trying to blend this and blend that and trying to keep safe. That's not the way we're called to be. The Lord wants us to be full-hearted for Him, all for Him. Our focus, as we're talking about, in focus needs to be fully on Christ and the Scriptures. We need to be all in for God, because when we're half-hearted, we're not truly walking the way we should with the Lord. He doesn't have our whole heart. Verse 35 says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. The Word of God gives us direction. When we're seeking it, and many times we are in life, Lord, what do we do? Where do we go? What do we say? We're looking for direction. It's found here. It's found in the Word of God. And he's saying, Lord, give me your direction right now. Direct me in the path of your commands, the things that you have, that you've commanded, the things you've said. Let me walk in that path. Let me be in the Word of God and teach me through it. Give me direction. A word that stands out to me in there, in that section, is I delight. In your word, I delight. And when I think of delight, I delight in many things. I delight in my wife, my family, my kids. I delight in seeing them. They delight in seeing me. The joy, delight means that you're so excited. You're full of joy and passion for it. You delight in something. Do we delight in the Word of God? It goes back to a sermon quite a while back Pastor Brent preached and talked about the difference between obligation and oblation. Do you just read the Scriptures because you're obligated to, because that's what you do as a Christian? Or do you truly want to be in it because you delight in it? Because you know the power that's in it and the amazing things the Lord can speak through it. We should delight in the Word of God. 36 says, turn my heart towards your statutes. It says, teach me, give me, direct me, turn me. All these things saying to the Lord, asking Him to do. Turn my heart towards your statutes. See, the statutes is the actual law that was written down and inscribed. It's pretty cool. At the end of the service today, you're actually going to write down, you're going to inscribe on those tiles your one word that you feel the Lord's given you for 2020. We're actually going to do that today. His desires for his heart to be all in again for what the Lord's law. He wants his heart to be for what God wants to be toward him, not what the world wants. And once again, back to Revelation. You remember the church in Laodicea I preached on? A church that was rich and wealthy and had all the eye salve and all those things. You remember that? Their eyes, they were focused on the money and the wealth. And God looked at them and said, you are wretched, poor, pitiful, and blind. The same way the psalmist is saying, Lord, keep my eyes on you, not towards selfish gain, not towards what I can get. Verse 37 says again, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Our eyes need to be focused on the things that are worthy to be focused on, the Lord and His Word, the things He says. Remember, this section has the picture of a window. So picture now you've entered that tent or that house and you're looking out the window. You're seeing the world. You're seeing things. And now he's saying, Lord, this is what I want my focus to be on you, not all these other things that take me away from you. And it's the second time we've seen in both these sections that it says, preserve my life according to your word. I wonder, what does that mean, preserve my life? It's It's like we sang this morning as well. It's bringing, being revived, bringing fresh life. Lord, save me. Lord, bring me that fresh life. Lift me up out of the dust. The word does that. Jesus saves us, and his word holds true for us, and it keeps us. That's why I love our theme song we've picked. Lord, you keep us day and night, and his word does the same for us. He uses that. Verse 38 says, fulfill your promise so that to your servants you may be feared. And this is really cool, the connections here, because we've been doing the one prayer as well alongside the one word, right? And each month we're doing it this time is there's a different movement, a different focus as well each month. And the focus for January actually is teach them to fear the Lord. That's what you're going to be praying for the person you've got. What does that mean? It means he wants to fear God because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says that. We're called to fear God and keep his commandments. We've seen the fear of God, haven't we, in Revelation? Revelation 4 and 5. The throne room, the fear, the reverence, the awe. Only he is worthy, right, to open the scroll, the Lamb on the throne. And then 39 and 40. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Preserve my life. And there it is again. Preserve my life. This is a cry to be led into that life, to continue to be led, because the law of God leads us into life. You know, I preach this in another sermon. The law doesn't, my first one word I shared here, the law doesn't just like hold us. It doesn't just restrain us. The law of God actually frees us. It actually gives us life. It doesn't take away, it brings true joy. And just like that word delight sticks out, the word longing sticks out for me as well. We should be longing for the things the Lord has ordained. On that day where I was starving for food, I was hungry, I was longing to sit down and have a big meal. Are you longing? Are we longing for the word of God? Yearning for is another word you could use, a poetic word for it. Are you longing for the word of God, for the things he's ordained? Are you longing for his plan to come true in your life? A cool thing happened this week. I got a brand new Bible. And the reason I got a new Bible is I had an NIV translation, but it was an older version, like a 1988 version. And so this is a brand new version. So I do as many of us have done. You go online, you order whatever you want. So I ordered a Bible, picked it out, wanted the same kind and style, and there it comes. A few weeks later, I walk in, and on my next desk is this box with a brand new Bible. Sweet. So I get it to my office, open it up. It's got that new Bible smell. It's got the papers. It feels good. I put it down. I get my other NIV, which was kind of falling apart. It's, ironically, some of the Psalms were literally falling out of it. So I get it, and I just put it on my shelf. I'm like, well, I'll use it as a backup Bible, and we'll just keep it there, and maybe I'll come to it sometime. But, you know, I'm not going to throw it out. Obviously, I'm just going to keep it on the shelf. And then I sat down to prepare this sermon with my new Bible. And it wasn't until a couple days later, this was Monday, like Wednesday or Thursday, it hit me how I treated that. And I used to work in the cell phone world and help people with upgrading their phones. And it was like, I treated this just like an upgrade, just something I kind of threw to the side on the shelf. It really honestly convicted me of how we take our Bibles for granted. Right? Don't we? You know, I looked on our shelf this week, and just on one shelf, I think we had like 5 or 6 Bibles on there, just there. I don't know, last time I opened all these, so one for camp, and one for church, and one for my devos, and one, and we collect these. But do we use them? You know, we have the Word of God everywhere around us, even in this room, Bibles everywhere. We have the Word of God, but does the Word of God have you? Does the Word of God have you? Are you in it? Are you steeped in it? Do you long for it? There's an amazing book that I read. I used to work at Blessings Christian Bookstore, and we sold this book when it first came out. Put a picture of the slide on here. It's called The Heavenly Man. Have anyone read The Heavenly Man? If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It's the story of Brother Yoon. That's the guy here on the front. He's one of the guys back in the 70s or so, I think it was, that began the house churches in China. So like the underground church in the time where it was the roughest there in beginning, that's where Brother Yoon is. And as I was thinking about how I treated my Bible, I was reminded of this book. And I want to read just this a short section here from this book. And it's from a time when Brother Yoon was 16. And when he desired the Word of God so much, he hungered for the Word of God. He heard of a pastor in the village who had a Bible. So he went to him and said, Can I see your Bible? I don't even need to hold it. I just want to see it. And the pastor actually had the Bible buried in his yard for fear of death, of being jailed. And the pastor didn't actually show him the Bible because he was so fearful. So the section I'm going to read here picks up after that. Brother Yoon heads home. So just listen to these words about this amazing thing that happens here in Brother Yoon's life. I went home after that, and every morning and afternoon I ate and drank nothing. We're talking about physical hunger and thirst. Every evening I ate just one small bowl of steamed rice. I cried like a hungry child to his heavenly Father, wanting to be filled with his word. For the next 100 days, I prayed for a Bible until I could bear it no more. My parents were sure I was losing my mind. Looking back years later, I can see this is the most difficult thing I've ever endured. Suddenly one morning at 4 a.m., he gets this vision. I was begging to God to answer my prayers, and I received a vision while I was kneeling beside my bed. And in this vision, I was walking up a steep hill, trying to push a heavy cart in front of me. I was heading towards a village where I was going to beg for food for my family because we had nothing. I was hungry and weak by constant fasting. The old cart was about to roll back and follow me because I was so weak. I saw 3 men walking down the hill in the opposite direction. A kind old man who had a very long beard was pulling a large cart full of fresh bread. 2 other men were walking on each side of the cart, and when the old man saw me, he felt pity and showed me compassion. He asked, "Are you hungry?" I replied, "Yes, I have nothing to eat. I'm on my way to get food for my family." I wept because my family was poor and his father was sick as well, so they sold everything to buy medicine. So we had little to eat and we were forced to beg for food. The old man asked me if I was hungry. I couldn't help but cry. And in this vision, the old man took a red bag out and from his trolley and asked his 2 servants to give it to me. He said, "You must eat it immediately." I opened the wrapping and saw there was a bun of fresh bread inside. When I put the bun in my mouth, it instantly turned into a Bible. Immediately in my vision, I knelt down. I cried out in thanksgiving, "Lord, your name is worthy to be praised. You didn't despise my prayer. You allowed me to receive this Bible. I want to serve you for the rest of my life." I woke up. I started searching the house. The rest of the family was asleep. The vision had been so real, I realized it was a dream. I was anguished and I wept loudly, so much that my parents thought I was going crazy. The more I shared about the vision, the crazier they thought I was. And my mother said, "The day hasn't dawned yet. No one's at the door. It's locked tightly." My father held me tightly. He said, "Dear Lord, have mercy on my son. Please don't let him lose his mind. I'm willing to be sick again if you'll just give him, my son, a Bible." My mother, my father, we knelt down. We wept together. And suddenly, I heard a faint knock at the door. A very gentle voice called my name. I rushed over and asked through the locked door, "Are you bringing the bread to me?" The gentle voice replied, "Yes, we have a bread feast to give to you." I immediately recognized the voice as the same one I had heard in the vision. I opened the door quickly, and there standing before me were the same 2 servants I'd seen in the vision. One held a red bag in his hand. My heart raced as I opened the bag and held in my hands my very own Bible. 2 men quickly departed into the still darkness. I clutched my new Bible to my heart. And I fell down on my knees and I thanked God again and again. I promised Jesus from that moment I would devour his word like a hungry child. From that moment on, I prayed with faith-filled prayer. I trusted the words in the Bible were true. I always held the Bible. Even when I slept, I laid it on my chest. I devoured its teaching like a hungry child. That's a crazy story. And it should be convicting for us, the hunger that Brother Yoon had for a Bible, and yet here we are, and like I said, I just tossed mine to the side. Are we hungry like that for our Bible? Or do we just take it for granted because they're all around us and it's what we have? It was a reminder to me that we should not treat the Bible. We should not take the Bible for granted. We should not treat it with just like putting it to the side. I encourage you, go home, take a look and see all the Bibles in your house. Think about, what does the Lord want me to do with these? Maybe give them away or maybe just be in them more, whatever it may be. But a Bible collecting dust, and yet you have people still, even though this is in the past, who are longing for the Bible, across our world. Persecuted Christians who would just die, literally are dying just to see Scripture and hear it. And to end our service today, we have an opportunity, a privilege, a great privilege to write down our one word. And I just want to talk about what that is, just to make it clear so we're all on the same page of what that is. The one word that we're doing, it doesn't mean an actual word. Like you see on Facebook, my word for the year is patience or pursue. That's not what the one word is. The one word means what we're talking about today. It means a section of Scripture. It means, you know, a verse or two or a whole section, whatever it is, it means a section of Scripture. You can also, this is an opportunity, and we want to encourage this, that if you want to pick a one word for your family as well as the one word for yourself, please do that. That's an opportunity to teach our kids, our family is doing that as well, teach our kids about the Word of God. Instill in them the hunger for the Word of God. That's what we want, 2020 and beyond. So that's what the one word is. So in a moment, the way this is going to work is the worship team is going to come up. They're going to play two songs for us. And we have a few tables here at the front and the backs and some elders at the table. And that's where you can go. And if you felt like the Lord has given you a one word, you just write that down. And I've put mine here on the screen as an example. Just write your name down. Mine's 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And then the passage with a Sharpie. And then all those tiles are going to be compiled together and put into a display again so that we can see that our focus at Sturgeon Alliance is on the Word of God. Is on the Word of God. And this is just one way we can do that. So the worship team can come forward and they're going to play some songs for us and then just take some time. And if you don't have your one word yet, don't stress. We can still have more time in the coming weeks as well. But spend some time talking to the Lord in prayer. Lord, what's the word you want me to focus on? You know, this is not the only word you're going to be in the year, but this is your foundational, your passage that you're clinging to this year. And then down the road, we'll have what's called another one-word service where different people will come up and they'll share about what the Lord has done through that one word, which is super exciting and amazing to hear those things. So that's what the one word is. I hope that's all clear how that works. If you have questions, let us know. But it's making the focus on the Word of God. I'm just going to pray here, and after two songs, Pastor Brent will come and close the service. But I'm just going to pray just to close our time of being in the Word this morning. And then please go write down your one word. And as you're doing that, think about the things we've learned today in Psalm 119. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your Word. Lord, it's such a gift to us, and sometimes we don't treat it like that, Lord. We walk past it and we don't dwell in it, or we just come to it casually, occasionally. Lord, help us as a family here at Sturgeon Alliance, Lord, to be hungry for your word, to just be pursuing it and chase after it and be wanting to be in it. I pray you use every one of these one words that are going to be inscribed on these tiles, Lord. The words you've given us, Lord, the foundational passages, use them, Father. Use them in our lives to encourage us in dark days. Use them in the days we're joyful to continue to lift us up. Lord, use these words. Thank you for the privilege we have to come and write them down and the privilege we have in having the Word of God in our lives. Help us to use it. Help us to be thankful for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So you can go.